Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This Wednesday night, we continue our look at the words of our Lord, the words with which our Lord Jesus instituted the sacrament of the altar, Holy Communion, for his people. And tonight, our theme, kind of like last week, if you listened to last week's service, followed along, we focused on the word often. And it was very strange to talk about how the Lord's body and blood should be something that often we receive in the midst of a pandemic when we can't come to receive it. We have another one of those words tonight, the word cup. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So somewhere along the way, we got kind of scared of the cup. I remember when it happened. It was here at our Redeemer. I was a kid. And the decision was made to go from receiving Christ's blood from a common cup to individual cups. And there wasn't really a whole lot of discussion about it. It was kind of just decided that we would do it. And churches, I mean, all around churches made that same decision. And we do need to emphasize that Jesus says nothing about the manner of the cup from which we receive it. Do you receive the blood of Christ from an individual cup? Yes, absolutely. And you should not doubt it. But I do like to encourage people to think about what the common cup, the chalice, teaches us. There's a hymn in our hymnal, "What God Ordains is Always Good." And it has this line in it in stanza 3 that says, "No poison can be in the cup that my physician sends me." The hymn reminds us that God gives his people good things. And Holy Communion is certainly one of those good things. So we should not come to Holy Communion fearful of what may happen to us in Holy Communion. Because Holy Communion is meant to be a blessing to the people of God. Does that mean I can't get sick if I take Holy Communion? Some people would say that. They say, "I refuse to believe that we could ever get sick from receiving Holy Communion. God gives it to bless us." But he doesn't specifically say you can't get sick from coming to Holy Communion or drinking from a cup with other people or even being close to one another. I mean, we've made the difficult decision to not do Holy Communion for the time being, to respect the governor's shelter at home order. I'm in an empty church as we speak right now with no one else in here, and we're operating the church in such a way that only one person can be in here at a time. There isn't going to be Holy Communion for a while. We'll get to that a little later. There is no promise that you can't get sick from Holy Communion. I'm reminded of a story that our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod President, Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison, tells in his book, Christ Have Mercy. President Harrison used to serve as director of LCMS World Relief and Human Care, and his work took him to places all around the world. And he tells the story in his book about being the guest preacher in a small African church in an area that has one of the highest rates of HIV and AIDS infection in the whole world. Here he is preaching at a little church in this village. And after the sermon, they moved on to the sacrament of the altar. There was one cup, the common cup. There were no little individual glasses. There was no sterilization. And it just so happened, the way they were doing the distribution, that President Harrison was the last one to drink from the cup after the whole congregation had communed first. And he writes in his book, "For a moment, my fear and sin were before me. I was a wretch worried about himself at this very sacrament of love. Then I thought of Luther's words, if one member suffers, all suffer together. He was reminded of the fact that we're not made any guarantees that whether we're at the Lord's Supper, whether we're in church with one another, there are no guarantees that you won't get sick. Whether you're drinking from a different cup or whether you're drinking from the same cup or if you're even in the same room with one another. The sharing in the cup, the sharing in the bread, it's something we do to share together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And here I'm reminded of the fact that we do call it a communion. That word communion comes from the Greek word koinonia. A koinonia means a common thing. In the Greek word koinonia, you hear the English word coin. The word coin means something common that has a common value for everyone. So if I were to pull out a quarter, it would be worth 25 cents for me and it would be worth 25 cents for you. It has a common value attached to it. So a koinonia, a communion, is a sharing in a common thing. It's why we do it together. So there is something about we don't want to come to the Lord's table fearing what we might receive there, but rejoicing that I am sharing in this with my brothers and sisters in Christ. We share the cup. We share the loaf. We share our confession of faith. We share being in the one and the same Lord Jesus, who gives us body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. The reality is, not many people today, some more and more, do choose to drink from the one cup. But you are free in Christ to drink from whichever manner you're more comfortable with. But to do so not fearing what you receive at the Lord's table, rather rejoicing in what you share with those who are at the table with you, and rejoicing in what your Lord Jesus shares with you. Because no matter what style of cup you drink from, Jesus is sharing a cup with you. He had said it earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, from which we heard our passion reading tonight. After the mother of James and John asked Jesus, more like demanded Jesus, grant that my sons sit one at your left and one at your right in your kingdom. And Jesus turns to them and says, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? You see, the cup was often an image for God's wrath being poured out. And in Jesus, the wrath of God was going to be poured upon the Son as he suffered and died for innocent, him being innocent, suffering and dying for guilty sinners like you and me. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? James and John said, yes, we are able. They didn't quite know what they were saying, but Jesus tells them that they would. And by that, he meant that they would likewise suffer for the kingdom of God. They would endure persecution and hardship and difficulty for being servants of the kingdom of God, proclaiming the gospel. They would also drink from the cup of God's wrath poured out on Jesus when they drank his blood in his meal. And we drink of that same cup. God's wrath poured out, not on us, but on Jesus. When we drink the cup of the New Testament, the New Covenant, the New Covenant that fulfills the Old Covenant. It's not that God pulled a 180 and said, I now have a new way of doing things. What he was doing in Jesus Christ in the New Covenant, the New Testament, was a fulfilling of everything that the Old Covenant was pointing to. Now, how was God's wrath appeased in the Old Testament? Through sacrifices of animals that were brought to the tabernacle, brought to the temple, and offered by the priests. But every one of those sacrifices, as the book of Hebrews reminds us, and as we'll hear this Sunday in our epistle, every one of those sacrifices pointed forward to Jesus being the sacrifice that appeased God's wrath. The sacrifice that received God's wrath upon himself for our sins. St. John Chrysostom, that great preacher of the early church, once said, for after sacrificing, the priests used to catch the blood in a chalice and bowl and then pour it out. But now instead of the blood of beasts, Christ has introduced his own blood. The cup of God's wrath is poured out on Jesus Christ for you. And that cup is a cup of blessing. Isn't that what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 when he says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ, a participation in the blood of Christ, a sharing, a fellowship, a koinonia? It's the cup of blessing. We come to the Lord's Supper not in trepidation, not in terror, because the wrath of God is not being poured out on us. It has been poured out on Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blood which poured forth from him on Good Friday now is poured into the cup of which you drink in Holy Communion. Here again the words of St. John Chrysostom. He says, Paul called it a cup of blessing, because as we hold it in our hands, we exalt him in our hymns, wondering and marveling at his unspeakable gift, blessing him for having poured out this draft so that we might not abide in error. And not only for having poured it out, but also for having imparted it to us all. John Chrysostom's words remind us that Jesus didn't just shed his blood. He shed his blood so that he could give it to you, so that you could drink from the cup of blessing, knowing that you have a Lamb of God, a Lord, a Savior, a sacrifice appointed for you to receive all of God's wrath in your place. We might be lamenting at a time like this that God's wrath is being poured upon us. No, the wrath was poured on Jesus on the cross. And his blood of sacrifice is poured out for you every time you drink not just of the cup, but also eat of the bread and receive his very body and blood. God grant that we can once again return to that body and blood soon and speedily, receiving what our Lord Jesus gives for us for our forgiveness, life, and salvation. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.